Nightlife with Suzanne Hill on ABC Radio and on the ABC Listen app.
The Playlist. Well, Nightlifers, what exactly does it take to be considered a national treasure? Well, we could ask Vicar and Linda Bull, who are my guests tonight in the playlist. For more than 35 years, this sister duo have been part of Australia's soundtrack. They've picked up an Order of Australia medal for their outstanding service to Australian music in 2022. They joined the Music Victoria Hall of Fame the same year. And just last month, they were inducted into the ARIA Hall of Fame. But whether they're lending their signature harmonies to soul, gospel, rock or country, the one thing they're not singing tends to be their own praise. That's more likely to come from the many artists they've collaborated with over the years. People like Paul Kelly, Joe Camilleri and the Black Sorrows, Casey Chambers and John Farnham. Well, this year, after lending their voices and creative energy to the stories of so many others, it's time for Vicar and Linda to tell their own story in full with Where Do You Come From? It's their ninth studio album. Here's a little bit of the title track. Vicar and Linda are also in the middle of a massive tour across the country, which is why it's wonderful that they have made the time to be with us here tonight on the playlist to share some of their favourite songs with us. Hello, Vicar. Hello, Linda.
Hello, Suzanne.
Hello, Suzanne.
Oh, I'm so excited to have you. I think we had you on the show a few years ago. You did us a conversion to gospel, but these are very much, you know, really personal songs for you both. Vicar, what does it mean to you to have been inducted into the ARIA Hall of Fame as you were last month?
I was in shock. If you really want to know the truth, Suzanne, I was like, really? Are you sure about that? And then I had to think, well, yes, Linda and I have been singing together for over 40 years. I think we're known for our harmony. I think that's what we're being recognised for, the fact that we're sisters, the fact that we have, you know, endured, we have, you know, helped, you know, just that I had to think, take stock and think about what we'd actually done. And I think, you know, we're very honoured to be included in that group.
So, Linda, how do you find out that you're being inducted into the Hall of Fame? And is a phone call or an email? I mean, if Vicar was in shock, what's the moment that happens when you get the shock?
Well, we have a funny story about that, Suzanne, because we were called together. Our record company called us up and said, where are you two? And we were away. And they said, well, could you come to town? And we went, okay. We were thinking, why? And they said, it'd be great if you were together and you were in town tomorrow. And we thought, oh, no, we're going to get dumped.
Yeah,
they're going to dump us.
Yeah,
and then we were together in Vicar's kitchen, and the head of our record company told us we were being inducted together, and it was a really big surprise. So we were glad that we weren't dumped by a record company.
Was that the first reaction? Relief then, shock?
Yeah, it was relief.
Oh, it was relief. We were really happy. We a tear was shed or two because we were together. It was just a really special moment.
Yeah. Now, we're on a musical journey tonight through your influences. Linda, just, you know, I'm wondering, given you've spent so much of your lives together, have your influences largely been the same, or was there a time where either of you sort of went off on musical explorations entirely of your own?
No, we're so different. Vicar and I are pretty much chalk and cheese in our musical tastes, our personalities, everything. So there's been no alignment, really. We've never really fought over records on the record player, apart from Split Ends.
Yeah, that's the only one.
That's the only one that brought you two together.
Well, I mean, when we were choosing it early on in our lives, it was radio. We listened to the radio. But Vicar has more of a rock taste. I'm more of a country.
Yeah, very different.
All right, well, Vicar, we're going to kick off with your track. From Ruth Brown, who's someone who's often called the Queen of R&B. I'm not actually familiar with her. So do you want to just tell us a little bit about her and introduce the song?
Well, Ruth, I fell in love with Ruth when I started singing in a band called Sophisticated Boom Boom. I didn't really know much about Ruth Brown, just that I liked her voice. And one of the songs in that set was that I had to learn was a song called Mama, He Treats Your Daughter Mean. And I'd actually heard Sophisticated Boom Boom sing that song live before I joined the band. And then when one of the singers left and I was asked to take her place, that was the first song I had to learn. I thought, man, and I only heard it on record. That was like before YouTube and you could look it up and see what, you know, the artist looked like. You just had the record that you could look at. And I heard her voice and I went, man, this is a really unusual voice. I just really loved it instantly. And then when I saw a video of her, she's playing this tambourine and it like, it's, she's one of the best tambourine players I think I've ever seen besides Linda and Tracy Partridge. But it was just incredible. She had this beautiful dress on. She's absolutely gorgeous, singing this song, Mama, he treats your daughter mean. And she's got this little squeak that goes up. And I just loved it. And I love her. So I listened to Ruth Brown a lot. She was like one of my teachers. Her, Etta James, Aretha Franklin.
And I think we're going to hear from all of them in the next hour tonight. But let's start with Ruth Brown. Mama, he treats your daughter mean. What a fabulous way to kick off our hour. That is Ruth Brown. It's called Mama, He Treats Your Daughter Mean. Chosen for you by Vicar Bull, who is my guest tonight, along with her sister Linda, to play you some of the tracks that have influenced them most. Vicar, just, I mean, it's a song about mothers. Your mother, she was kind of your music teacher, wasn't she?
Yes, she was. She taught us how to sing in harmony. From the moment we opened our mouths and we started singing, she said, oh, I think my girls can sing in tune, because she was the soloist in the church choir in Tonga. So she quickly picked up that I had a higher voice than Linda. Linda had a beautiful, rich, lower tone. So she taught us our parts. And so every time we'd sing a song like Split Ends on the radio, she would teach us the two-part harmony. And that's how we learned how to sing.
And Linda, how much did you two sing growing up? Did it turn into something you were taught formally, or just when you were sitting around listening to the radio?
Yeah, no, it was very informal. Just ads along, ads on the television, jingles, TV theme songs, everything. We would sing along to anything and we loved it. It was just fun.
Yeah. Now, your heritage is Tongan, and music and singing are a huge part of Tongan culture, aren't they, Vicar?
Massive. It is. Doesn't matter what time of day, day or night, in Tonga you will hear a choir practicing, and it's beautiful. I mean, when you go to Tongan church and you listen to the choir, they really do. It's very emotional, even though they're singing in their Tongan language, and you know you can't understand. I've seen our friends just weep, and it's, I don't know what it is. They're just singing for God or something. And it is very much a part of the culture, the singing and the dancing.
Yeah. So, Linda, you're going to play us a track from gospel great Mahalia Jackson. It's called Trouble in the World. Why has this song been so important for you?
Well, when we were children, our mum and dad loved the movie An Imitation of Life, and they sat us down. We were very, very young, maybe 3 and 4. And the movie is about, you know, racial prejudice and discrimination, and a daughter who turns on her mother because of the colour of her skin. She doesn't want to know where she's from. She doesn't want to acknowledge that she's dark-skinned or half and half. And it really was a lesson to Vicar and I, because our mother is Tongan and our father's Australian, in relationships and how you should be proud of where you're from. It was a heartbreaking movie, but at the end of it was Mahalia Jackson, who sang at the funeral of this lady, called the song called Trouble of the World, and it really impacted, I think, both of us. But it was the first time we'd ever heard an American gospel singer sing, because we grew up in the Tongan church, and just the power and the sadness of the song. I'll never forget it. It was really one of the first songs I remember hearing. Thank you.
trouble of the world, trouble.
What an extraordinary song, Mahalia. Yeah.
so heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And she influenced Vika and I a lot, the way she sings, in the power and just the simplicity, the way she runs down to notes and up without overcomplicating it. It's really just about the meaning of the song.
I know. I've never heard that before. I feel pretty struck and a couple of tears in my eyes from listening to that. Just amazing stuff. I've got Vika and Linda Bull here with me on Nightlife in the playlist tonight. They're playing you some of the their favourite and the songs that have influenced them most over the course of their lives and careers. Now, Vika, your time is up next and we are going to play Aretha Franklin. Apparently, I've heard there was a time you chose to sing a bit of Aretha Franklin for an audition. About the age of 17?
Oh, yeah. I sang in my first band, I sang Respect. And then I met Renee Geyer and she said, you know what, no singer should touch Aretha. So I've never sung Aretha since. I'm just like, you know, and I think Renee was right. You know, she's untouchable.
Right. Why did she think just no one can ever do it justice?
That's right. No, we can do it justice. You know, it's like if Renee Bass says so, it's like, okay, Renee.
All right, so you're actually going to play Say a Little Prayer for us. Why this one?
Well, I know it was written for Dionne Warwick, but I like Aretha's version. And I found out too recently that the same backing singers that did Dionne's backing vocals for this song also did Aretha's. They sang on both versions. And I really, when I heard Aretha sing this with the Sweet Temptations, I think, Sweet Inspirations, I can't remember their name, I just love the backing vocal part. I love the way Aretha sings it. I love the way she lifts. I know it was a song. It seems like a love song, but then I discovered it was about the Vietnam War. It was like all these things. It's one of my favourite songs.
Is Aretha Franklin and Say a Little Prayer.
Say a little prayer for you. The moment I wake up, before I pull on my makeup, I say a little prayer for you. And while combing my hair now, and wondering what dress to wear now, I say a little prayer for you.
Aretha Franklin and I Say a Little Prayer. You're on Nightlife on ABC Radio. It's Suzanne Hill with you on this Saturday night. I have Vika and Linda with me. Gosh, what a year you two are having. You've got your ninth studio album. You've been inducted into the ARIA Hall of Fame. And you've got this ridiculously long tour around the country. I think 50 days.
Yeah.
Ridiculously long.
Yep.
I mean, how do you even set out on 50 dates? That's just... You know, why did you want to make that tour so ambitious, I guess?
Oh, you know, something to do. No.
Keep us out of trouble. We could go on and on. Oh. No, we thought that if it was time to really back up a record that we spent 3 or 4 years making with an extensive tour of the regions and capital cities, the only way that we could really get that record heard out, apart from being played on the radio, is just to go and play for people.
Yeah.
And that's the best way.
Is with the age of Spotify and fewer people perhaps listening to linear radio, is it harder to actually get your record in front of people?
It is.
Yeah.
It is. You can tell by record numbers the way that they sell. You know, in the days when we started in the Sorrows, that I think a platinum album was 75,000.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not anywhere near the numbers that they're doing now because of streaming. So physical album sales are harder to get.
Yeah. And are you finding that you get any of the kind of rewards come back to you via the streaming services?
I haven't bothered to look. Because I'm guessing no.
No, I know. Well, I don't know. Yeah, I guess.
We're face-to-face people, really, I think. We sell a lot of albums after shows.
After shows.
And that is what we love to do because people will tell us what they like to hear. It's point It's like that face-to-face thing is really important to Vicar and I.
Yeah, and so do you actually, you know, are you there manning the store, selling the albums, mm-hmm. chatting with the people who've been to see you?
Yes, we are. We're there at the merch desk. We don't actually do the transactions, but they come and they buy their record or their book or tea towel, mm. and we love that. You know, it's like so supportive. We know that tickets cost so much money, and then for that, to have them buy a CD or vinyl or something, it means so much to us because we know how much it costs. But when they buy a record, it's like, oh, well, they like our songs. Like, yeah. I think it's like try before you buy. So they come and hear it and they go, oh, I like it, and then they buy the record. So to us it's like, yes, job done.
it's wonderful. We heard our record had sold out of JB Hi-Fi or something the other day. We nearly fell off our chairs. So it was great.
They only ordered two.
Well, I guess, yeah, if you come along, that's fantastic. You know, you get to hear you get to talk to you, you get to take home the T-shirt, as you say.
Yeah.
Exactly. A lot of value. Now, just to give people an idea, this tour, next Sunday, the 12th of July, you're in Victoria, but you have dates coming up in New South Wales, then you're in Victoria again, then you hop into Queensland, then I think you are in WA, mm-hmm. Darwin, back to Queensland. I know you've been to Adelaide, so a couple more dates. Yeah, you're wrapping up on the 10th of October in Tamworth. So you really are travelling all over the country. So just one, plenty of chances, nightlifers, to,
come on down.
Yeah. Go and try before you buy.
Yeah.
I've got Vicar and Linda here. Now, Linda, is it true that your dad played so much Linda Ronstadt when you were younger you thought you were named after her?
Oh, my gosh, yes, that's true. And I thanked him for it, and he said no. You weren't named after Linda. You were named after the electric blanket, silly.
Sleep wonderfully warm with Linda.
It comes with its own theme song. Oh, gosh.
Oh,
I was
dear.
Devastated. But he loved Linda Ronstadt, and consequently so did I. And I fell in love with her album Simple Dreams in 1977. I was 10 years old.
And so the track you're going to play for us tonight is Carmelita. Just tell us a bit, Linda, about what you love about this song.
Carmelita, I think when I was 10, what I loved about Carmelita was, well, it was written by Warren Zevon, was the sense of loneliness and place. So you know he's in Los Angeles because he name checks roads and he's addicted to heroin and he's got all sorts of problems. He's broke and lonely. And I like that sort of dangerous side of it. And I also like the fact that he was in love with a woman from Mexico. She had a beautiful name. It's just very, I could sort of see the song when I heard it. Mm. And the way Linda sings it, just icing on the cake.
Here is Linda Ronstadt with Carmelita.
I hear mariachi static on my radio, and the tubes that glow in the dark, and I'm there with you in Ensenada, and I'm here in Echo Park. Carmelita, hold me tighter.
Linda Ronstadt and Carmelita, chosen for you tonight by Linda Bull, who was not named after Linda Ronstadt, but after an electric blanket. She says, it's not very romantic, is it? How did you feel when you got that news? I'm named after an electric blanket.
Dad loves his electric blanket.
It could have been Sunbeam. It could have been Sunbeam.
Too true. This is Nightlife on ABC Radio. Vicar and Linda are here with me. Now, Vicar, you spent, I think it was about 7 years as the lead in At Last, the Etta James story. You've got Etta James coming up for us now. Was your love for Etta James something that predated having that role, or did you kind of learn to love Etta while you were doing it?
No, it predated the show. I fell in love with Etta when I joined that band Sophisticated Boom Boom and was given her records by the bass player. It was Ruth Brown and Etta James. They were the two records the bass player gave me. Etta, I just also connected with instantly, and I would take her records home with me and listen to her every single day, learned her songs. I just loved her because she was tough. She had this very strong, powerful voice, but then she could also be very tender. But you could hear the heartbreak and the kind of the little girl, I guess, sometimes in her voice. And I think because maybe she did have a very tough upbringing, and her mother was not present very much during, you know, her childhood, and she grew up on the streets. You can hear that coming through in her singing, and I think that's very hard to get. You know, she really has a lot of experience. You can just hear it in her voice. I just, for some reason, just loved it so much. And Fool That I Am, when I had to sing this song in the Etta James story, was one of the hardest songs I had to learn for that show. And then it became one of my favourites.
What made it so hard?
It was that kind of heartbreak, you know, falling in love but someone not loving you back and having to let them go, and that, and hearing the way Etta sang that and trying to get that, capture that moment on stage too, it was very difficult. It's very sparse. It's got a lot of space, and that is something too that's really difficult, because I'm sort of one that likes to fill everything. So it was learning how to pull back.
Here is Etta James with Fool That I Am.
Fool that I am for falling in love with you, and a fool that I am for thinking you loved me too. You took my heart, then played the part, of little coquette, and just disappeared like the smoke from a cigarette. And oh yeah, yeah, fool that I am for hoping, oh, you'd understand, and thinking you.
Etta James and Fool That I Am, chosen for you tonight by Vicar of Vicar and Linda fame, who are my guests here tonight on the playlist on Nightlife. They're in the middle of, well, I think I called it what's that word that I used before to describe the length of your tour?
Ridiculously long.
Yeah. A thorough tour of Australia. They've also just released their 9th studio album, which is called Where Do You Come From? And if we have time at the end, I might get them to tell us a little bit more about that. But I want to play Blondie next, as chosen by Linda for our list. Talk to us about Blondie and her role in your musical life, Linda.
Well, I had her poster on my wall, my teenage bedroom wall, and I loved her. I just thought she was just a perfect mix between pop and, you know, punk and new wave, disco, all those things that I was getting into at the time. And I loved her fashion. I thought she was incredible, an incredible front woman, and just listened to as much Blondie as I possibly could. I even put her in liquid paper on my pencil case. That's how much I adored her.
That takes us back to an age too when we were decorating the pencil cases with liquid paper, doesn't it? Yeah,
exactly.
You're not doing
right.
That anymore.
No.
And Rapture in particular?
I loved all her music. I really did. But I thought Rapture was a really great, the first time I'd really heard rap. I'd never heard it before, and I loved the fact that she was doing it. And then I sort of got into rap afterwards, much more, you know, interested in what that sort of style of music was and that street scene in culture in New York. Loved it.
Let's hear Blondie and Rapture. I I do hope you're enjoying this fabulous playlist that Vicar and Linda Bull are bringing us on Nightlife tonight. I know they're enjoying it because they're very much singing along in the studio, aren't you, ladies?
Yes. We love every word of that song.
Oh, we have time for one more of your pick and then we're going to play something from your new album. Now, Vicar, this one was on your list, Summertime by Louis Armstrong and Ella Fitzgerald. Tell us about your relationship with this song.
Look, I just love the way these two sing together. I think as I've, even though Edda and Aretha and Ruth Brown were my favourites when I was younger, as I've gotten older, Ella Fitzgerald has become my favourite singer. And it's because she's a jazz singer, it's because of her voice and how pure it is. The fact that she can scat, although she doesn't scat in this song. I love the way Louis and Ella used to harmonise together. Summertime is a song you always hear people get up and sing, you know, whenever they're like, you're at a blues festival or something, someone will always get up and sing Summertime. And it's like, oh, here we go again. But when I hear Ella sing it, it's like, that's the way it should be sung.
Summertime, and the living is easy. Fish are jumping, and the cotton is high.
Ella Fitzgerald and Louis Armstrong, it's Summertime. You're on Nightlife on ABC Radio. The end of the hour always comes far too quickly. My guests have been Vicar and Linda Bull, who, they've got their ninth studio album, which has just come out. They are touring it on their ridiculously long tour around Australia to introduce it to you. Tell us, Linda, how is Where Do I Come From different to your other work?
Well, it's more deeply personal because we wrote 8 of the songs, and I think that Vicar and I have been sort of a bit shy of doing that more. We were always in the room, but maybe more lyrically our personalities come out on this record, I think. Really strong, stronger voice.
And the Where Do You Come From? Tell us what that's all about.
That's about a childhood memory that came flooding back to me a few years ago. On Boxing Day, there was couple of things happening on the news that were very upsetting, and I remember being picked on when I was at school, being called Coke. That was my nickname. And so I wrote some lyrics down, and then Where Do You Come From? Where do you come from? Where do you really come from? I was asking the question, and gave the lyrics to Mark Seymour, and then the three of us sat down together and made the song, wrote the song together.
So was that something that you were always having to answer as kids?
Yes, very much so.
And what did you say?
Australia. We're born in Australia. They go, yeah, but where do you really come from? And that was okay. We understood that they were trying to find out our heritage. But when you're a kid and you ask that nearly every day, it sort of wears you down a bit. And being picked on too, I think that was the worst part, yeah.
Thank you so much, Vicar and Linda, for bringing this. Is such a fabulous playlist of songs. Nightlife is, if you want this playlist, SMS me now. I'll send it back to you along with some of the songs on it that we didn't get to. I wish we'd had another half an hour so we could have played all of the ones that were on the list. We will go out with Where Do You Come From your album. Good luck on the ridiculously long tour. And thank you,
Suzanne.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And here is Vicar and Linda, Where Do You Come From?
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.